Wow, we have been discussing keys of the kingdom, haven't we? And, you know, it's very important to understand some of the keys of the kingdom. Remember something, that, and I just want to recap. Science is the study of things seen. Christianity is a study of things not seen. It's called the study of truth. You know, that's why people think you're weird. We really are crazy. We're crazy for Jesus. Let me tell you, when you get touched by the Lord and you get filled with the Holy Spirit, or you have a visitation from God Almighty, you're never the same. When the truth sets you free, it's like, man, it's all you want is the truth. Nothing in the world can fulfill you. No matter what you try to do, no matter what you try to do in the world, I don't care how much money you make. Let me tell you, Donald Trump is miserable. He's so busy trying to keep his money. Oh, the love of money is the root of all evil, isn't it? Amen. But ain't nothing wrong with having some. That's how the Bibles get printed. That's how people get fed and clothed and so forth. But it's the love of Christ. It's a relationship. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Amen. One of the keys of the kingdom we've been discussing is about knowledge. And knowledge is so important, because without knowledge, how are you going to tell somebody? Amen? Without knowledge, how are you going to know? Most people walk in darkness, and they don't understand. But only when you come to Christ and the anointing begins to remove the scale, and something begins to change in your heart. It's just like we were saying, no man comes to the Father unless he's been drawn. Would you turn to Mark 16? Oh, hallelujah. Mark 16. I guess this is Keys of the Kingdom Part 2. We never get to finish, did we? Is everybody all right? Glory to God. In Mark 16. In Mark 16 and verse 16. Is everybody there? He who what? Believes. What's the word believe mean? Follow. So if you're not a follower, you're not a believer. Amen? The word believe means to what? Follow. So if you're not following, you're not a believer. And if you claim to be a believer and you're not a follower, you're a liar. Okay. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be what? Condemned. And these signs will follow those who what? Believe. Now this is Jesus speaking, isn't it? He said these signs are going to follow those who believe. And the word believe means to follow. So these signs are going to follow those who follow. Right? And he says, in my name, and only in his name, not in your emotion. Hello? Not in anybody else's name. Not in your thought. Not in anything else. Only in the name of Jesus, he says, and they will what? Cast out demons. Okay, I want you to stop there for a second. They will what? Cast out demons. It's amazing. And I really believe many places, you know, I was brought up in organized religion. I never heard about somebody casting out a devil. The only time I ever saw something like that was on The Exorcist on TV. And they had such a hard time casting that thing out. They were doing all kinds of rituals and everything else. I didn't realize that they could just use the name of Jesus and got rid of that stupid thing. Hello. You know, when I was, I mean, you know, they got all these horror flicks on TV. People have, no wonder why they have bad dreams. They watch all these demonic things, right? But they always make it like the devil's winning. You know? It's like, you know, I'll be watching some of these old religious flicks too, and they're still making, I'm like, man, just cast that devil out, will you? Cut it out. I change the station. Man, I can't even watch this thing. Just get rid of that devil. You know, they tried to proclaim You know, there's a lot of Christian movies out there, but you don't see too many of them praying in the Holy Ghost. You don't see too many of them casting out devils. You know, they're afraid of offending somebody. Let me tell you, the truth is what sets you free. And Jesus said this. He says, it's the first thing. They will cast out devils. I'm telling you, more people don't want to talk about it. Well, let me tell you, when that serpent came out of me and manifested, I realized the devil was being cast out. And God was casting it out of me. So if he was casting it out of me, he was telling me, God, I want you to go out and cast out devils now too. Jesus didn't just say this for a couple people. It was for every believer who follows. Amen. He said, go cast out devil. You know, there are places in organized religions that say, man, don't talk about the devil. They're afraid it's going to affect them. Oh, you talk about the devil, he's going to torment you. Well, you already got a devil already, man. What's up? Well, believers can't have a devil. Go look in the mirror, man. You don't think you got a devil? Bible says you'll know them by the fruits. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. He says, and they will cast out demons. And it's so important because the other side of what you see is the truth, isn't it? Amen? In other words, this side here we see is all natural. Everything beyond this is spiritual. That's why Jesus said, I've come to bring you sight to the blind. He didn't mean heal somebody that was blinded in physical realm. He meant to heal somebody that was blinded in the spiritual realm. Amen. So that they could see the things of the Spirit. Cast out demons. And what else? And what? Speak with new tongues. Utarabasitia kasia. And they will take up serpents, take dominion. And they will drink anything deadly. In other words, anything by mistake. You're not going to go drink cyanide or siphon gas and test God. You'll die. And by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That is the commission of God. That's what you're supposed to be doing as one who is a Christian. Everybody with me? Praise God. Remember, the reason why not all of the churches and so forth are discussing this is because they don't know it themselves. In other words, you can't give someone something you don't know. You've got to experience it, don't you? When you experience something and you know the truth, nobody's going to tell you no different. Nobody will tell you no different. You'll know. And it's all according to the word. So that means that Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception. Does he want you to know that you have the authority and dominion to cast out devils? No. So his greatest weapon is deception. And his power is what? Fear. That's why many people don't want to talk about it. Amen? They're fearful. So here's something very important to get. Knowledge, because that's one of the keys of the kingdom, is knowledge. Knowledge exposes Satan tactics, doesn't it? So once you begin to learn knowledge, light becomes, because truth is light, exposes Satan's arena. You know, the first time you might hear somebody talking about casting out a devil, maybe going, whoa. You know, but once you see one come out of someone or comes out of you and you have that freedom, it's like, hallelujah. Remember, a demon is a disembodied spirit looking for a body. That's how he stays fed. And he is no respecter of person. You don't care whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. He's looking for one, a body to get fed in. Amen? So knowledge exposes Satan tactics, right? Is everybody with me? And the anointing or God's presence breaks his bondage. Come on, say it with me. Knowledge exposes Satan's tactics, and the anointing of God breaks the yoke of bondage, breaks his power, Satan's power. Does everybody understand that? Okay? So this is the commission. God says, go out, cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, speak in tongues, go for it. I've commissioned you to do that. Now that cannot be established without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You must be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it's a different baptism than water. You must be baptized in the Holy Ghost and filled with the Spirit of God, that you would have power. That's how the kingdom of God is manifested. Is everybody with me? Praise God. Go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Is everybody there? Matthew 16. In verse 13. 16:13, and it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? In other words, personal relationship. Do you know him? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, in other words, the anointed one, and his anointing, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, not the Pope. Hello. And on this rock or revelation, I will build my church. What's the revelation? That Jesus was the anointing, the power of God, the love of God that was manifested in the natural realm. God Almighty came to bring me and you the anointing, because that's what overcomes darkness. Does everybody understand? That gives you dominion and authority. And he said, listen, Pete, no man's revealed this to you but my Father. And in verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock or this revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why? Because hell cannot come against the anointing of God. It tries to, but it cannot prevail against it. It can't win. Does everybody understand? No way. Oh, hallelujah. And I will give you what? Keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ, or the anointed one. Now, here's the keys of the kingdom, right? He says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. In other words, your prayers, you have the authority to bind something in a natural realm, which affects the spirit realm. That's why we pray. How do you get from one side to the other? Prayer. Why? Spirit means what? Breath. So when somebody's going to say to you, I'll keep you in my thoughts, tell them, forget it. Put me in your prayers. Speak them. It's not a silent prayer. It's a spoken prayer. Remember, Jesus didn't come and overcome the devil, right? He didn't overcome the devil in the wilderness by thinking him away. He spoke him away, didn't he? Why? Because it's the ministry of the Spirit, isn't it? The covenant is the new covenant is the ministry of the Spirit. You know, so many people are deceived going, well, Jesus paid it all. He did it all for me. I don't have to do anything. I can go out and fornicate and lie and cheat and sleep and so forth and all kinds of other things. And just make it home to heaven. Well, that's a lie. Because the Bible says, if you're not doing the will of God, you will not enter into kingdom of God. Hello. There's going to be a lot of people who are deceived when they die. But you know what? There is not one unbeliever in hell. Everyone that's there now is a believer. Amen? And they sure wish they had that opportunity. And it's too late. Oh, hallelujah. So he said, listen, what you speak in the natural realm affects the spiritual realm, right? Is everybody with me? So when you repented of your sins, right, That affected the spirit realm, didn't it? It actually activated the blood of Christ to wash you. Because what you sow is what you reap. Praise God. So when you repent, it gives the authority. I mean, when you repent of your sins, it actually gives authority to remove curses from us. Remember when we talked about, listen, remember we talked about in the Old Testament? Did anybody ever hear the word scapegoat? Amen? Well, in the Old Testament, when the priest used to take the two goats to sacrifice them for the sins, right, of the nation, or the sin, they used to have sin offerings, and they sacrificed the one goat onto the Lord, you know, with the blood, and the other one they'd lay hands on. What they were actually doing was passing the sin of the curse. Because all sin brings a curse. So that goat would go out, right? Now, it's supposed to go out into the wilderness and eventually die, fall off the cliff or whatever. But sometimes that goat would come back. Hello? And they have to send it out again. That's why the Bible says when an unclean spirit leaves a person, it seeks dry ground and so forth, goes to dry, seeking a place for rest, and it comes back to the body again. Why? That curse wants to come back. A demon is a messenger of the curse. Has everybody got it? So sin brings a curse. Amen? That's why the Lord says cast out devils. Why? Because once that devil is cast out, and now you have an opportunity to break that curse. So if you and I have now a power and authority to bind things in the natural realm and loose things in the natural realm, that is affecting the things in the realm of the spirit, isn't it? Amen? Is everybody with me? So this is where we've got to begin to utilize what God has given us called the keys of the kingdom. Now, one of the major key is knowledge. If you didn't know about this, you wouldn't know how to do it, would you? Amen? So now something has just happened in the spirit realm because you know that you have authority to bind the power of darkness. You know that you have the authority to cast out a devil. You know that you have the authority to loose yourself from curses. Hello? That's just affected Satan's kingdom. Now you're a danger to him. Has everybody got it? Okay. Are you sure? Go to Ephesians 2. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2. Everybody okay? Good. You know, it's so powerful because Peter got the revelation, didn't he? He got the revelation of the anointing. Now, remember this, and we've shared this before. The Father, everybody say this with me. The Father sees the blood. The demons see the anointing. Oh. The Father sees the blood. The demons see the anointing. Has everybody got it? See, when you plead the blood, the demons don't see that. The Father acknowledges that. That's why the anointing is released. Because it's what His Son has done and nobody else. So the Father sees the blood. He acknowledges the blood, but the demons acknowledge the anointing. Has everybody got it? That's why when Jesus came out of the boat, they freaked. Ah, son of man, what are you doing, man? It ain't my time. Whoa. They saw the anointing. They didn't see no blood, did they? But when the Spirit, when they put the blood on the lintels of the door, the Father acknowledged the blood, didn't He? The demons didn't acknowledge the blood. The Father told the spirit of death, don't go there. Amen? So the Father acknowledges the blood of His Son, the price that He paid on the cross. And then demons acknowledge the anointing on your life because of the price that His Son paid for you. Mm-hmm. Glory. Is everybody all right? That was the revelation of the anointing, wasn't it? When Peter said, "You are the Christ," he realized, man, you're the anointing. You're the presence of God that came in from the throne room. You are God. Jesus said, "That's right, Pete. You got it, man. And no devil in hell can come against my anointing. That's why it says, and the gates of hell will not prevail." Is everybody with me? Good. That's why it's so important. When you praise and worship, something happens. You know what happens? The anointing comes on you. Starts convicting you. Oh, man, I did that. Sorry, Lord. Why? Because the anointing is trying to penetrate. He wants to possess you. The Holy Spirit wants to possess you. And where there is sin, that he has now no access there. He can't take that place until we repent. Because the blood always goes before the Spirit. Then he has access to you in that area. Oh, there's nothing worse and more miserable than being a believer and not doing God's will. Nothing worse. Okay. Where did I say to go? Ephesians 2. Is everybody there yet? Ephesians chapter 2 and start at verse 1. And it says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." Now, I want to just stop here for a second, because who's the prince of the power of air? Satan. He is the ruler of this earth. You are on his property. Amen. But we are no longer under his authority anymore through the blood and the anointing of Christ. Has everybody got it? So he is the prince of power of air. That's why when you bite an apple, it turns what? Brown. It's dying. That's why when people have surgery, especially with cancer, once the air hits it, it starts to spread. Hello. That's why the Bible says what we just read in the keys of the kingdom, whatever you bind on earth, which means natural realm, is bound in the spirit realm. What you're doing when you're speaking, that light is penetrating darkness. Has everybody got it? Why? Because you're penetrating the prince of power of air. That's why one of the things the devil wants you to do is shut up. Not some of us don't need to in certain areas, but he doesn't want you to praise and worship. He doesn't want you to speak the word. Why? Because that's light coming out of you, penetrating the prince of power of air, which is darkness. And his demons walk around, and when you start doing this stuff and binding it, that devil goes, whoa, and gets bound up and can't move. Does everybody understand that? And it's not about how you feel or what you think. It's the truth. That's what happens when you speak, but the devil always wants to say, oh, Lord, that stuff doesn't happen. Remember last, I don't know when it was, Sunday or Tuesday, remember I shared with you that I believe in first strike. You better strike first before you get struck. Amen? Why wait to get struck? And then turn around and go, oh, you struck me. Well, you just got wounded. Strike first. Hit the devil first. Bind and loose in the morning. You bind that power of darkness and loose yourself from those curses. Hello? Okay. Hallelujah. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as others. In other words, we walked in darkness, didn't we? Oh, hallelujah. Everybody all right? Good. Go to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Praise be to God. Galatians chapter 5. Is everybody there? verse 19. Would you all read it with me, please? Now, every manifestation in the natural realm is associated with the spirit, with a spirit. Everybody got it? We're going to talk about some things tonight, God willing. Some open doors. In verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. In other words, he's saying anything similar. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Isn't that something? That means no matter how much they believe in Jesus, if they're not following and still practicing those things, will go to hell. That's why the Lord said, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, I did this, I did that. And he said, listen, man, you practice lawlessness. I don't know you. You chose not to follow me, even though you used my name. Does everybody understand that? See, people send themselves to hell. God doesn't have to. Anyone who practices such things will not make it home. So who you serve when you die is where you go, right? So the lie of once saved is ridiculous, isn't it? It is a lie. How can somebody expect to make it home when they're out serving the devil? You know how many people have overdosed and gone to hell? You know, you can speak about, did you ever hear somebody come back from an overdose? Man, I'm telling you, there was a girl who used to call me from all over the country. She called me, oh, Pastor, I got high last night and I saw fire all around me. Well, hello. I mean, I'm telling you, from all over, she in and out, I'm in jail again. Boy, I got to tell you what happened. I saw these demons, they were chasing me. She could see the things in the spirit, you know. Of course, she was using the dope to get in the spirit, you know. But it was the wrong spirit. They were using her, weren't they? Curses are associated with evil spirits, aren't they? So these things are open doors where we bring a curse on ourselves. Remember, a demon is a messenger of a curse. So he has a right to be there, doesn't he? And what's he doing? He's fulfilling the curse. Here we go to a doctor, and the doctor says, what's in the family line? Diabetes, heart disease, this, that, whatever. Did you ever notice that grandpa and grandma were good people, but grandpa drank once in a while? He had to go every other Sunday and get him out of the bar, and grandma was all, well, you know. I mean, that's how it was in my life. My grandparents couldn't speak barely any English, you know, so I didn't know what they were saying, and I was a little jerk that was out there doing all kinds of stuff. You know, trying to hide in places and steal as a little kid and all the other stuff. And, you know, I didn't understand all of these things. And what had happened was, here, my grandfather was an alcoholic. So I began to see that curse come down the family line after I got saved. Amen? And when I began to realize about these things and I began to see other things happen in my family's life and how it affected me, I thought, my God. And I began to see it how it affected, I have a brother and so forth, then how it affected my daughter coming down the family line. Amen? And I realized, my God, that's really true, because when the Lord first rescued me and my wife, first thing he did was he had us read this book about blessing and cursing and began to break these curses off of our life. And that's what we need to do. Break these curses off of our life, don't we? Because they come down the family line. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Glory to God. Okay, where were we? Go to 2 Corinthians 10. Second Corinthians 10. Let's start at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down what? Strongholds. So he's telling us, listen, there's something that you got to do. Pull down strongholds. Your weapons are not carnal. They are what? Spiritual. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is what? Fulfilled. So that means that you must obey to be able to punish. Amen. And he's saying punishing those things that you hear, punishing those things that you believed in at one time, destroying them. So everybody got it. Now a stronghold is a memory lie, isn't it? That's a lie. If you were brought up as a child and mom and dad or grandpa or somebody, whatever, said, man, you'll never amount to anything. Well, they just labeled you, didn't they? Amen. And if you touch and agree, it happens. Yeah, you're right, I never will. Even though you try to say, I'll never do that, and then always it's always with you. Yes, you will. You'll never amount to anything. You know, because words are power, aren't they? You're an addict and you'll never change. That's why I had to stop going to the 12-step. Because I was no longer an addict. When God touched me and changed me, and I was going to the meetings and I realized, wait a minute, I'm not saying that I'm an addict. Those words are cursing me. Hi, my name is such and such and I'm an addict. Oh, I'm not. I'm free. No longer an addict. I have been set free. I'm anointed and washed by the blood. I am a brand new creation in Christ, and old things have passed away and all things have become new. Brand new. Hello. I'm no longer an addict. I'm a child of the Most High God. I no longer have a desire to use. It's gone. I'm free. No more struggling. I can walk by phone booths without shaking. Praise God. Yes. Hallelujah. I am free. So these are strongholds, labels that man puts on people, right? And that label, now listen, that label that you've accepted brings a curse because you've accepted it. And it allows the spirit to have access to you. Do you understand that? Okay. Come on. Remember we talked about this before. As soon as you start coughing a little bit, first thing you think, you got a cold. And man, you're just waiting for the symptoms to come. You're waiting for the fever to come. You know, and you're already thinking about how much work you got to take off. Hello. See, you're already agreeing with the devil, man. You know. Yeah. Oh, how am I going to pay my rent? You know, worry starts coming in. Oh, what am I going to do with this? What am I going to do with that? And the devil starts eating you up, and you're not even, I mean, you sneezed once because of lint. Oh, hallelujah. Or you had a dream and the devil told you something and you agreed with it. Hello. Brought fear on you. Why? Because Satan's weapon is what? I mean, his weapon is deception, and his power is what? Fear. Amen? Oh, praise God. So we must pull down these strongholds. That's a part of your authority as a child of the Most High God. It's the keys of the kingdom. Binding and loosening, pulling down, taking authority and dominion, going to the other side while you're still walking on this side. It's your rightful authority. Is everybody with me? Glory to God. Go to Matthew 12. Matthew 12. Is everybody all right? You getting it? You got it? Then do it. Matthew 12. Is everybody there? In verse 20-something. Matthew 12 and 28. What did Jesus say? He said, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has what? Come upon you. If I cast out demons by the finger of God, the kingdom of God has come upon you. See, that's why Jesus said, he who believes will cast out demons. Why? Because he's been anointed and the kingdom of God is being manifested, isn't it? So you have a right and authority to cast out a devil. Is everybody there? Good. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds a strong man? Now a strong man is a high-ranking demon, isn't he? Amen. And then he will plunder his goods. So the Bible says, listen, you need to bind that power of darkness. You need to bind that strong man so you can enter that house. And what house is he talking about? The body. Amen. See, there's always, demons always cluster. There's never just one. But there's always one in authority. He's called a strong man. Amen. And when you bind that strong man, you have access to enter and plunder the goods of the evil one. Is everybody with me? Praise God. Now, in so doing this, you are able to recognize, because the Bible says that you will know them by the fruit. Amen. It says that you'll know the Spirit by the fruit, no matter what it is. You'll know it. And so if it's drugs and alcohol there, then you know that if there's a tree and it's got certain fruit there, you'll know that tree by the fruit, won't you? Amen. And that's what you want to bind, isn't it? You want to bind that spirit so that you can enter that house and plunder the goods. Now, there are... go to John 10 for a second. John chapter 10. You know, we must really get the realization of demonic activity. John chapter 10. Verse 7, would you read it with me? Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, hello? Is anybody there yet? Can we all read this together? Praise God. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more what? Abundantly. Now Jesus says, I am the door. So there are open doors in people's lives that cause demonic manifestation. And I want to go through some. The first door, now in these areas that allows the devil to attack, allows temptation to have dominion, and allows curses to come and enter. Is everybody with me? So in these here, there are open doors. And the first open door in an individual's life is unforgiveness and judgment. In other words, the Bible says, judge their fruits, not the person. There are many people who still hold unforgiveness. That is an open door to the enemy in your life. Unforgiveness and judgment. You know, I get people come up to me, man, you're judging me. You bet you I am. I'm judging your fruit. I'm not judging you as a person. I'm judging your fruit. You're going to come up to me with a cigar in your mouth and a bottle of wine and tell me you heard something from God for me. I tell you, I got something from God for you. I'm going to judge your fruit. Amen. The second open door is any occult activities. You know, in this area of occult activities, many people are still reading their horoscopes and they're believers. And they wonder why they have trouble. You want to read, you want to know the future? Read the Bible. You know? People still going to see mediums and tarot cards and, you know, practicing witchcraft and not even knowing it. People involved in martial arts, they don't even realize it because they're bowing to a demon. Amen? These things need to get broke. So any occult activity will open a door. Things from occult, ancestral curses of occult coming down the family line, you know. The third thing is sexual sin outside of marriage and adultery inside of marriage, you know. There are many married individuals who still defile the bed. Hello. God did not manifest oral sex. It is defilement of the bed. And it will open doors to demonic activity. There are still people who, even some believers, that need to watch a porno flick before they make sex with their spouses. That is just plumb crazy. That opens a door to, that's pornography. It opens the door to demonic activity. That person now is making love to an image instead of the spouse. Amen? That definitely opens the door to demonic activity. The fourth thing is ungodly soul ties and emotional attachments. Those open the door. You know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, loving your job, you know what I'm saying? But don't fall in love with it. Amen? You may like your job, but never allow your job to interfere with you and God. Nothing is, no relationships, no nothing. Remember when the Lord told Abraham to bring Isaac to the altar? That was his son. What was he doing? He was breaking that soul tie. The Lord wanted to know whether he could trust Abraham. He said, look, sacrifice your son to me. Now, Abraham should have known that God never asked, he never approved of sacrificing a son. He never approved of sacrificing humans, did he? So you'd think Abraham, you know, but he was freaking out at first. And he was like, whoa, my son, the one I love the most. But he went and he was going to obey God. He wasn't going to ask how, why, or whatever. That's all he told his son when he asked, well, where's the sacrifice when they were going there? He said, God will provide one. He didn't tell him, you. Not till he got there anyways. He had some wisdom, you know. What do you mean, me? I'm out of here. Praise God. It would have blown the whole thing. Somebody got rebellious and tried to sacrifice Abraham. But Abraham was obedient, wasn't he? All the way to the point where he lifted the knife and was ready to kill that soul tie. And then an angel came and said, man, don't do that. And then there was a goat there, right, for the sacrifice, caught up in the bushes. He said, God provided. Do you understand that breaking soul ties is important? These are open doors, attachments, emotional attachments. There are still people moaning and groaning over their animal that died or got hit by a car 14 years ago. Oh. They still go to the gravesite in their backyard and go, oh, and give flowers to this thing. I remember one time when I was in the drug world, and there was this girl that was traveling, and she was carrying dope and whatever, and she was supposed to meet us at this place, and she come pulling up in my house, and she had her dog with her. And she said, okay, come on, let's go. And the dog was dead. I'm telling you, this girl freaked out on my front lawn. I'm going, my God. I didn't say my God then. Like, shut up, will you? You know, I mean, but she freaked out intently. I mean, and this went on for, I mean, I finally dragged the thing out, you know. I put it on a blanket, dragged it to my backyard, dug a hole quick, buried it, went in and locked the door. I didn't want to know nothing. I kept saying, they're out there, they're coming. Wonderful life, huh? They're coming! Quick, parent of thought! Put a gag in her mouth. Let's get in, you know? I was freaking. She was freaking. This went on for weeks. Every time I call her, oh, my dog. Oh, man, hang the phone up quick. I mean, all the lights were going on. She came in about midnight. Do you see lights going on in the neighborhood? They're watching us. What a wonderful way to live, huh? Sheesh. She was really a dog lover, but can you imagine driving all of that way? I think she drove from Vero Beach or something with a dead dog. Come on, let's go. I mean, we came running out of the house. I thought somebody got shot or something, you know. And there was a dead dog. It was big, too. We had to drag it all the way around the house. Here I'm out there at 1 o'clock in the morning now, digging a hole in this thing. I think we ended up burying it, pulling it back. I don't remember. I think she wanted to visit it every day in my yard or something. I'm like, no way. So anyways, we didn't know about breaking soul ties then. We didn't know about deliverance and healing. We didn't know about Jesus either. Thank God we do now. Amen? So the fourth thing is ungodly soul ties. And like I said, even animals can be soul ties. Amen? The fifth thing is broken covenants or vows that you've made. Promises and pledges that you've made that you broke. You said you were going to do something and you didn't. That is an open door to demonic activity. People who are married and divorced, people, you know, even when you say something like, hey, I'll be there at 10:30, and you show up at midnight, your words are covenant. When you don't do that, you open the door. That's why you got to repent for every vow you broke. Does everybody understand that? You know, do you ever notice when you get your paycheck and you go, Lord, yeah, the Lord's put on my heart to give so much money, didn't time to write the check or give it, and you go, well, you know, I think I'll just do half of that. You know, or you want to, don't realize that you just said yes to God and now you broke that vow. Does everybody got it? You just opened yourself up to a curse. Does everybody understand that? See, where there's broke, all of these here open us up to curses and to demonic activity. A broken vow, promises, or pledges. And the sixth thing, we know pride. Pride, whew. Pride is associated with rebellion, isn't it? Pride is also associated with betrayal. Where there's pride, there'll be rebellion, and there'll be betrayal. The seventh thing is idolatry. And like I said, one of the ways of idolatry, it's the love of creation. Hello? You know, people out there worshiping trees and stuff like that. I don't know what that religion is, whatever. Greenheads or something? I don't know. They worship creation. Or they worship material things. The love of money is idolatry. Amen. The eighth thing is offense. Man, you want to get a quick open door to the devil? Get offended. Are y'all cold or something? Hallelujah. The ninth thing is fear. Fear opened the door to the devil. The tenth thing is accursed items. They will definitely open the door to the devil. Hallelujah. I had a gentleman run out of here one night because I shared with him that the rosary was an accursed item. He didn't understand. I tried to explain it to him. But he couldn't hear me. It was too many blocks away. You know, and he came up for, he wanted to get healed. I was beginning to pray for him, and I said, man, I see something. I said, do you wear a rosary or something? And I didn't know anything about this man, because he came up and he said he's been having back problems and neck problems and stuff. And, he got offended. I said, man, I said, it's an accursed item. It's okay. We just want to break this curse off. What do you mean? This, that, whatever. And then on his way out, he said, yeah, I hang that rosary in my car. And then he shared with me that he'd been in two or three car accidents. And that's why his neck was all messed up. Well, don't you get it? Get it out of your car. Why? Because it associates with praying to the dead. Does everybody understand that? Why do you pray to Mary when you can pray to Daddy? Mary doesn't hear your prayer. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except for through the Son, not through Mary. That's where people don't know the truth. Amen? And they worship. Did you ever hear people trying to sell a house and they take little statues and stick them in the ground and say, this is Saint whoever, Saint whatever, you know, Saint Real Estate. That's going to sell my house. That's witchcraft. You know? Do you ever see people throw a coin in a water fountain or a water thing? And they go, oh, I wish. And they walk back. Poof. You know what happens? They just brought a curse on themselves, because that's practicing witchcraft. You know, God says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Amen? Accursed items. Movies. Music. Shirts. Clothes. I had a woman bring her son one time and said, I can't handle him. He's a crazy kid. Kid's looking at me like this. He's got a Tasmanian t-shirt on. It says, Tasmanian devil. I say, get the shirt off, man. Watching Pokemon. I was waiting for a guy at court, and this kid is jumping all over the place. And I'm sitting there, and I go, Lord, this kid's loaded with demons. He says, look at what he's doing. I'm trying to, well, yeah, he's jumping all over. No, look at the game he's playing. That's when I first heard of Pokemon. You know what Pokemon means? Pocket monster. It's a cursed item. Let me tell you, the devil will go after your kids big time. Accursed items, number 11, unconfessed sin. Something that you've not confessed yet. Number 12. Power of agreement with darkness, like we talked about with the labels. The power of agreement. When the devil tells you something, you go, yeah. Or somebody comes up to you who's got a devil and says, did you hear about such and such? They this, they that, they this. Yeah. Mr. and Mrs. Gossip. The power of agreement. When you touch and agree, when the devil says something to you, fear produces, or whatever it is, anxiety or stress or disobedience. You remember when he said to you, oh, come on, man, why don't you go to the corner and get some milk? For what? Because you need it. And you get in the car and you go to the corner to get the milk. Then when you go get the milk, he says, come on now, let's go get the stuff. Oh, but I got to feed my family. You get enough of it, you'll be able to feed them and buy more stuff, man. Okay. No, wait a minute. Come on, you did this before. Every time you do this to me, I go away for 2 days and I don't bring back the milk. It's okay. You'll do it this time. Okay. 2 days later, you're gone. Your family doesn't have the milk, and you ain't got the cash to get any. And then he beats you up because you listened to him. Oh, you idiot! How stupid can you be? Oh, man, now look what you did. You don't even love your mother, your father, your sister, your brother. Look at the offense you've done. He beat you up. And all just took one agreement. You said yes. Oh, hallelujah. Power of agreement. 13, ancestral curses. Ancestral curses coming down the family line. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Number 14, if you are out of position, you are open yourself to demonic activity. Why? Because if you are out of position, you're out of the hedge of protection. Amen? Praise God. Well, we've run out of time. We're going to have a part three on this one, I guess. Hallelujah. Is everybody understanding what's happening? You know, the Bible tells us that we are to walk in the Spirit. By walking in the Spirit, you will see the things of the Spirit. The carnal mind and natural mind cannot receive the things of the Spirit. These things are given to me and you because God wants to set His children free. Even the sinners are His children. We're all sinners. Nobody's better than anybody else. Amen. We're going to talk about some of the strong men and associated spirits and so forth. We just talked a little bit about open doors. And you know, there's more open doors than just what we mentioned here tonight. Another open door, which I didn't even mention, is when you begin to do the things of your past that you used to do. Is everybody with me? You know, when certain things that you used to bring from your past into your present that you used to do. The Bible says when God has set you free from the things of your past, and if you bring them into your present, it's an abomination. Amen? You know, soul ties are so important to be broke. You know, the devil always tries to bring things from your past. You know, I'll never forget when I wanted to get off the dope and everything. I mean, every dealer in town called me. We had a free sample. You know, hey man, I heard you were looking for something. Who are you? Yeah, I got a free sample. Yeah, right. Should have called me 4 months ago. Forget it now. You know, there's associations, there's places and so forth, you know. You got to be careful of things that you see and things that you hear. Things that you agree with. It's so important. Don't let offense come in. Amen. Nobody's perfect. But in Him we're complete. Amen. God has given us the keys of the kingdom, the weapons to utilize. We must use them. Forgive. You know, if you're still talking about who offended you, then you haven't forgiven yet. You can confess all your, well, I forgive him, that jerk. Well, you ain't forgive him yet. Hello? You're not forgiving him yet. Yeah, you don't know what he did to me. Forget it, man. Let it go. The devil is not stupid. The Bible says he's the most cunning beast God created. Don't fall into those areas. You know, people were in fornication in our past life. Don't get into it now. That's bringing something from the past into the present. Amen? Be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. And we'll talk about some of these other areas next Tuesday. Amen? Father, we thank You for Your word. We are honored and blessed. And Lord, every bit of revelation that was imparted here tonight, Lord, we ask that You'll protect the seed and allow it to grow and bear fruit for Your glory. Lord, we ask again for Your forgiveness of any thought, any word, and any deed that we've done that's offended You that You are bringing to light even now. We desire to do Your will. And we ask, Lord, that Your truth would continue to set us free and the manifestation of Your presence would continue to birth the things of Your Spirit. We want to be in position. So, Lord, anywhere we are out of spiritually positioned, Lord, we ask that you bring us in position that we might fulfill your will and carry your truth. I pray a blessing over each and every one here tonight, Lord. Send them out to do your will. And wherever they go, whether it be a workplace, a fun place, wherever they are, Lord, even at the toll booth, Lord, start toll booth ministries, Lord. Whatever it is, use them for your glory. In Jesus' name.